You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Christmas to everybody. Welcome to the Christmas house. Yeah, the Christmas house. Could be the Happy Holidays house too. But it can't be the Nothing house. Alright. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to everybody out there. If you celebrate something else, happy that to you too. Christmas Eve, we're going to do probably a couple hours of radio today. We continue to watch the fallout from the government shutdown. Is a joke, to be honest with you, right? Let me just tell you some jokes. First of all, when you say that the Republicans have they control the government, they control the House, they control the Senate, they control the presidency. That's not in fact correct, okay? Because we all know that stupid cloture rule in the Senate means you need 60 votes to move things. So without 60 votes, as long as they don't, and they call it the nuclear option, to do away with their own rule. It's not a constitutional rule, right? The Senate made it up. In fact, you know, go ahead and just look up cloture. Yeah, it was initially designed to make sure everybody could speak. That's not the way it's used anymore. They would move issues, and it was put in place so that everybody would be heard. Now, it stops the wheels of government. And I guess the gentleman and gentlewoman's agreement in the Senate is, well, this makes the Senate the brake on progress. Too fast, too quick, too jerky, like the House can be. Yeah, but there's got to be a happy medium between, right, nothing and jerking it. Did I just say jerking it? With apologies, it is Christmas Eve. Anyway, So without 60 votes, It's a joke. The shutdown was going to happen from the start. And what's unsettling, a word that has been used a lot here recently. What's unsettling, though, is the president makes a deal with the Senate they pass a bill, and then they hit the road. And because of the grief he takes on talk radio from the likes of Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter, Sean Hannity never takes him to task, right? Sean Hannity's on the he's with the program, right? He's a propagandist. Anyway, and the other two are to a certain extent. But they have they're financially secure in their own line of work. And if that includes bashing Donald Trump, then it's not going to impact them financially. So what the hell, why not? Anyway, and then he does an about face. And you're watching it, if you pay attention to it, and unfortunately I do. Unfortunately for me, I do. And then you watch it, like, all of a sudden it flips over. It's like, wait a minute. He just made a deal with the Senate and sent them all home. They passed the bill and they went home. Had been leaking from the previous week, not going to shut the government down. Now we are. So, but again, it's just a made-for-television event. So, anyway, the government shut down. The real drama is going on with Secretary Mattis and Donald Trump being his own foreign policy guy, which ought to scare the living shit out of all of us. So, we'll see what happens with that. We now have, an interim chief of staff. We now have an interim attorney general. And now we now have an interim secretary of defense. General Mattis's. And again, if you know those guys, and I've said this before, knowing all three of them personally, they're not afraid of Donald Trump, okay? And so when he gets asked, when they're in a meeting and he says something, they're not bobblehead kind of guys. And I would think if you watch him, he does not like to be managed. He's the guy. He's the brilliant one. And so when they would look at him and I'm sure say, no, sir, that's not really, you know, and this happens over and over again. You can only imagine the animosity that would be generated, because the people that he surrounds himself, if you look at the cast of characters that have been indicted and whatnot, right, what are they? They're all yes people. They're all political hack yes people. So when you have people that aren't cut of that bolt of cloth and they look at him and say, yeah, it ain't that way. You can imagine how that would go over. So Secretary Mattis's letter, something that was being held up last week, is saying everybody in a civics class ought to read this. Now got him his departure date. He and Kelly will walk out the door together. I think Kelly's done the day before. And I say that, you know, nobody works on January 1st, but guess what? I know one person that will. Yeah. And that is the Secretary of Defense. So he's going to be given the bum's rush. And one of his deputies will take over. So it's not like you have, like, top flight people running these things. Yeah, that's the majority of our government is being run by the B team. I mean, even at the UN, Heather Nauert, you know, looks like a fine spokesman and all that. But I mean, compared to Nikki Haley, governor, right? What else is a Nikki? I mean, she's elected politician, run for president, right? I think her name was in initially. Am I right about that? Nikki Haley be president of the United States. I think she should run. But yeah, you have the B team. Kind of worrisome. And again, still yet to be seen. Still yet to be seen. I haven't seen John Bolton. Have you? What does John Bolton have to say? So it's been an interesting week. And if you type in "Where's John Bolton," you'll see a series of headlines. All right. From the Daily Beast, Trump shocked Turkey's Erdogan and John Bolton with his snap decision to withdraw from Syria. And again, it echoes the story that was written in the Associated Press that when the president said he was going to do it, then Erdogan went, uh-oh, holy shit, what, I'm going to have a war then. Hey, Don, don't be so fast. Easy, take it easy now. Let's not do anything crazy here. Trump, another headline from the Daily Caller. Trump decided to withdraw from Syria after stumping John Bolt. John Bolton with one question before making his decision. What was the question that Bolton couldn't answer? According to the Daily Caller. President Donald Trump reportedly stumped National Security Advisor John Bolton with one crucial question before making his heavily criticized decision to withdraw U.S. forces from Syria. So this is the craziness for those of you who read. This is how this whole thing starts. The president, in a December 14th phone call to President Erdogan of Turkey, the purpose was to tell Erdogan to back off the threats to attack American-supported Kurdish rebels in the northeast part of Syria. So that's the purpose. Okay, the president gets schooled up on this is what we're doing, blah, blah, blah. But the president went off script, and he agreed with Erdogan. Erdogan asked Trump, why are you still there when the Islamic State is 99% defeated? Erdogan supposedly told Trump that his country could handle what was left. Then Trump stumped Bolton, who was forced to admit Erdogan's point. What's his point? If the only purpose was the physical destruction of ISIS, then Erdogan has a point. But that's not it. What comes in the way? Is Turkey going to stay and make sure that ISIS isn't reformed? No. Is Turkey, what's going to happen to the Kurds? And what about Iranian influence? So I don't believe the story. I don't believe Bolton didn't have an answer for that question, because Bolton's had those answers to those questions, so I don't believe that. But John Bolton hasn't been seen. Next question, where's Mike Pompeo? Mike Pompeo, 10 hours ago, is scheduled to meet with Israeli President Netanyahu. Pompeo and Netanyahu will meet about U.S. troop withdrawals in Syria, which brings Israel closer to a conflict with Iran. here are other headlines. Netanyahu seeks to calm Israeli concerns over Trump's Syria pullout. Trump, a great friend of Israel, right? Just did him wrong. Right? More Israelis are going to die now. and what was it, Saturday when the headline broke that Brett McGurk was going to, had submitted his resignation and using the word reckless about the president's decision. More interesting headlines. Trump reportedly has not spoken to Mattis for days, had Pompeo call to tell him he was out on January 1st. Why didn't Mulvaney do it? He's the chief of staff. Hey, Jim, Nick. Hey, Nick, what's up? You're done January 1st. Hey, Nick, I want you to call Mattis. I'm not calling him. I'm not calling him. Come on, Mr. President, you do it. No. 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 All right, well, maybe Pompeo will do it. Let's get him to do it. Let's get Mikey to do it. He'll do anything. Yeah, Brett McGurk. The only thing I have read or seen of Mike Pompeo was he did an interview on December 20th with NPR. In an extended interview with National Public Radio, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo pushed back and defended administration's actions there and in North Korea. Pompeo said, "We've made the caliphate in Syria go away," but admitted that it left a long-time battle with a counterterrorism battle, not only with ISIS, but against Al-Qaeda and others. Regarding criticism that the U.S. withdrawal leaves Kurds in northeastern Syria vulnerable to attack, Pompeo said, listen to this, "We're counting on the Russians and Turks to honor their commitment." Can you believe that came out of Pompeo's mouth? Anyway, I'll tell you what, the president took the heat off the Saudis, though. The Saudis are pretty happy about it. Like, whew, we got out of the headlines. Hey, boys, that was good. So, interesting. Interesting to see what'll happen. Interesting to see, how this will affect, the Trump administration. And I think that I speak for a lot of conservatives, and I tweeted out a few articles over the weekend. I retweeted a story by the Associated Press when Brett McGurk resigned. The headline I wrote, right? The story was breaking news. Officials say U.S. envoy for the Islamic State coalition, Brett McGurk, has quit. More fallout from Trump's serious pullout. I retweeted that headline with this over the top of it. The only thing to do, Brett McGurk, blah 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 blah, has quit in protest of @RealDonaldTrump's reckless act in Syria. Hashtag Pompeo and hashtag Bolton should put the nation before their careers and follow suit. When you stake out positions you believe in and that you advise on, and John Bolton has certainly, you know, advised why the United States would stay in Iran, and you're rebuffed, then to me you don't have a choice. I don't think. And if you look back, I started watching Apocalypse Now last night. I was looking for a movie to watch, and so I was flipping through Netflix. I watched the Springsteen. For those of you that are Springsteen fans, I watched the Springsteen thing that he did on Broadway, And it's awesome because he kind of talks about his life and how it's, and he's funny too. I mean, it's funny if you're a fan. I enjoyed, it's about 2.5 hours. It's long, like most of his stuff. But, it talks about, his relationship with his father, which is big in his life. He talked about, he's funny. He says, you know, yeah, the guy born to run. He said, I live 10 miles from where I grew up. So it's pretty funny. He said, all the rest of that, he said, I made it up, right? He said, I'm good at it. So he's funny. And then he talks about New Jersey. He said, man, he said, look, I grew up in this place, but there was nobody coming down here, right? All this Jersey Shore and all this Jersey Cool. And all. He said, I made that up. It didn't exist before I was singing about it. Nobody came to Jersey. He said, so I had to go to New York City. I'd never been to New York City. He said, yeah. Yeah, all that, Born to Run, Darkness on the Edge of Town, all this stuff, you know, getting out of town, working on the highway. He said, I never left. He said, even worse, I was 21. I didn't know how to drive. So if you're a Springsteen fan, I would recommend it. I would recommend it. So I started watching Apocalypse Now. And, you know, one of the legacies of the Joint Chiefs of Staff during Vietnam was they didn't do the right thing. They didn't stand up. They were bobbleheads. Now, what's the criteria for the resignation of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? Well, unless it's illegal or immoral, right, you execute the orders of the President of the United States. Civilians control the government. In fact, I had a couple people say, isn't there something somebody can do? Answer, no. President of the United States is responsible for executing America's foreign policy and is the commander-in-chief of the military. When he gives an order and he gives a directive, it's to be followed out. Now the Congress, the Senate and the House, foreign relations committees, armed services committees can hold hearings and they can kick up dust. But, yeah, I had a number of conversations with people saying, Mac, it's like, can he do that? And then I had somebody who listens to the program and says, your buddy Kenny gets it, Afghanistan. Not sure you do. You know, I would say this about the Afghanistan policies. I consider myself in good company when I'm in the company of Joe Dunford and Jim Mattis, and not in the company of Donald Trump intellectually. So I would extend that to somebody who said, I don't get it. So congratulations. You're in the same intellectual camp as the President of the United States. Yeah, but I had a number of conversations over the weekend about, geez, can this really happen after all the work that's been done to stabilize those things, and now you're getting to phase four where a win is just having a stable, you know, a stable geographical area and a say in what goes forward at the cost of 2,000 American troops, and now we're gonna throw in that chip, pull them out, when virtually none of them are being killed. To what end? Because Trump got rolled by Erdogan. The answer to that is yes. Yes. You have more people being killed in training accidents in the United States than are being killed in Afghanistan. By multiples. So, anyway, we shall see what this week brings. You have people very blunt on, I didn't watch any of it. I've actually stopped consuming. I've become very picky about where I get my news these days. Because I think it can be so maddening. And then the other thing I thought of last week, or over the weekend, actually Saturday, was when we would have tough days in Iraq, and the three of them would be sitting around the table. Right? Kelly Mattis Dunford, and a bunch of other fine officers and enlisted Marines as well, in the 1st Marine Division Blue Diamond staff meetings, how would they respond? And they would respond like it was another day at work, and we had to roll up our sleeves, and that we would get through this. And so I think that kind of workmanlike attitude. But I will say this. I think everybody in the country ought to be, you know, and even conservatives. I mean, the President of the United States lost me, and I think lost a lot of conservatives who were willing to give him a chance. But no longer. In my opinion, they can't impeach him fast enough. I believe in many of his policies, as I've said on the program. His conduct, though, and his recklessness. He's a real estate developer from Queens, and he's going to follow his instincts for American foreign policy. I was in shit when I said don't be afraid last week when I said don't be afraid to say a prayer for your country. Right? That'd scare the shit out of you. Anyway, we'll check some news headlines on this Christmas Eve in 2018. And then Alex Holling's going to join us. So we'll get Alex's thoughts on all of this. And so we'll do that. And then we'll tie things up for the day. And then we'll see you on Wednesday. And hope you all have, everybody has a very, very Merry Christmas. But I would tell you that very, very serious, serious times for our country because of the recklessness of the President of the United States. Email, Merry Christmas, Mac. Congrats and on continued success and a great year at All Marine Radio. May your Christmas and upcoming 2019 be even better, be well. Vacaville, man. The 2019 is gonna start awesome. We'll be in starting on the 7th of January for a week. Mike and I and Josh Goldberg, who's been on the program from Boulder Crest Retreats. We're all gonna be at Camp Lejeune, and we're gonna be there doing our little spiel for a week. So that'll be fun. I'm really excited about it. And, you know, in terms of Josh and Mike and I, it's a chance to be proactive and to arm people with this great stuff that I have gathered and now communicate to other people in something that I call blue-collar mental health. Blue-collar mental health. So, yeah, so 2019 is going to start in great fashion for All Marine Radio, and really, really excited about it. So yeah, thank you very much there, Dave. And again, just to everybody who listens and emails and supports the program, I can't tell you how exciting it is to read emails, especially emails that talk about sharing kind of the post-traumatic winning philosophy of All Marine Radio, sharing that with other people and changing people's lives. To me, it's intoxicating. It makes my heart happy when it happens, and I absolutely, positively, I absolutely positively love it. And so next year will be better than this, and every year. We'll be starting in June. We'll start the 4th year of All Marine Radio. That's hard to believe. So it's exciting stuff. So it'll be exciting. But again, the biggest thing that I hope that everybody who listens does is have the link to the two goals and the 8 commandments on your phone. And when you bump into people that are struggling with trauma in their life, share it with them and tell them they're okay. They'll get through it. That living with this is not an exceptional event. Most people do it. They can too. So, good morning to you on this Christmas Eve morning. I hope you don't have all your Christmas shopping done. I mean, come on. Do you really want to be that person? Yeah, I hope not. I hope not. Don't be that person that has all. Come on. It's a little fun to go out on Christmas Eve. Got to buy one last gift. Making it, braving it. All the rest of it. The best thing of 2018, post-traumatic winning. You know what? I agree with you. And you know you want to, what I love about it, it's a, I don't want to say the invention because that's the wrong word. It's the logical conclusion of the discussions that we've had here. Right? Therapy is overrated. I would say there's just as good of a chance, probably a better chance that you'll be damaged by therapy than you will be helped. And I didn't think that. That was not my going in position 2.5 years ago. That's my position now. If you embrace these truths, and if you do the things that we talk about, I think the vast majority of people affected by trauma don't need to go see a therapist. You can handle it. But it helps to have a trauma mentor, and you can be one of them. Yeah. Because, again, there's not too many original ideas in those commandments. A lot of them are given to me by other people, by reading, by life experience. And really, I mean, I've been, you know, like a lot of people, you know, Bob Nielsen's a good example who's just sent that. But, I mean, he's been dealing with it since he was in Vietnam, 1968, right? I've been dealing with it since 1984, when my parents separated and never spoke again. Annihilated our family. Right? That'll leave a mark. And again, what's cool about what I've learned from post-traumatic winning now is that I don't need to be embarrassed. I mean, it's much more manly to say I was in Iraq or Afghanistan, the first battle of Fallujah, second battle of Fallujah, whatever bullshit, you know? But right when your family, the place where you go, where everything else fucks up, right, your source of strength, the thing that keeps you centered and balanced in your life, no matter what you screw up, you can go back there. When the bottom falls out of that, son of a bitch, that's moderately disturbing. And it affects everything you do. It affects the way you look at life. So, to me, those things, learning those things from other people and being able to pass those along through All Marine Radio has been the most wonderful epiphany in the second half of 2018. The thing, and that's, you know, we went around the table at Thanksgiving and talked about the things we were most grateful for this year, and I said that. I said the number of lives that All Marine Radio has touched and changed astounds me, absolutely astounds me. The amount of email I get, people that reach out and say thank you, and now starting to share it, thank you for helping me, and then they start helping other people. It's just like it's the best feeling. It's like being a parent and your kid's out doing good things. He's like, yeah, that's my kid. I told him that. That's my line. That's not his line. But yeah, it's cooler. It's cool as hell. And so when we went around the table, it's what I said on Thanksgiving was what I was most thankful for, and I am. And but again, not. There's a few things that are original to me, and it's more a way of stating it than it is an original thought. And so I kind of have a gift in terms of dumbing things down. If I have a gift, I'm not stupid, and I know how to dumb something down to put it in language that is not overblown, hoity-doity, because the people that I most want to reach are the people that I love the most, and that is the Lance Corporals of the Marine Corps, right? If you've served with them, if you've seen how funny they are, how resilient they are, how tough they are, how selfless they are, and then you've seen them in combat, you can't help but want to help. They're beautiful. They're beautiful people. And so, yeah, how do you make it, how do you write it so that they understand? You know, so anyway. All right. So, on this Christmas Eve, good morning to you. Hollings is going to join us in 24 minutes. The United States Marine Corps Band will make it official, as it always does, on this Monday. So, good morning to you. Thank you for listening. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Good morning. This is dedicated to Santa Claus, hoping that he gets going tonight, that he hits all his time hacks, that all the reindeer are well fed and ready to go, and that he gets around the world, and he brings happiness and cheer wherever he goes. And if you happen to be getting in your sled tonight to go someplace, make sure you drive safely, and you know, I say this a little bit of sadness, but make sure you drive defensively. Make sure you are aware that there's drunk people out there tonight, and make sure that you get where you're supposed to go and get home and take care of that. But drive, take extra care tonight, because not everybody's out delivering presents and things. Some people are doing stupid things. So this is dedicated to Santa Claus and everybody traveling. Be careful out there. And here's to him doing his thing.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front, with his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City. Standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather on Christmas Eve. Here's another email before I check the weather. Amen, brother. This is from the All-Marine Radio head mother. Amen, brother. Three strikes, you're out. Folding on the budget last spring, not following through with the wall in Syria. Yeah, you know, it's amazing, though, the number of conservatives that said, you know what, it's not how you do it. The people that were willing to give him a chance, because hoping, with their fingers crossed, that, right, that he could, you know, he could manage it, because they could never vote for Hillary Clinton. It's an amazing number of them that are saying, you know what, this shit show is too much. Partly cloudy and sunny in Quantico, Virginia. What did I say? Partly cloudy and sunny? Partly sunny and 46 in Quantico. Sunny and 53 at Camp Lejeune. Granbury, Texas, where Mike Musselman is not. He's in Denver. Partly sunny and 45 in Granbury, Texas. Sunny and 50 in 29 Palms. Clouds and 43 at Camp Pendleton. Yikes. Dark, cloudy, and 66 in Okinawa. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is dark, cloudy, and 57. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear and 46 degrees. In the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area, of Southern California. It is foggy in 56. It's foggy most of the day. So on Saturday, the lieutenant was lounging around. I said, hey, man, let's go play tennis. Let's go hit some tennis ball. He's like, come on. I'm like, what, are you afraid to get your ass kicked? He's like, dude, are you out of your mind? I'm like, no, let's go play tennis so I can kick your ass. He's like, you don't realize I'm a good athlete. I said, oh, no, I realize it. So let's go. And he's like, fine. So we go. I pounded him 6-2. That's right. We played one game. We played one game. Okay. I won, or one set. I won 6-2. That's right. That's right. 61 years old. He's 29. That's right. So, oh, yikes. Almost spilled my tea. In fact, I did a little bit. So we need to take a break. So we'll take a break. When we come back, after I wipe my tea up, we'll check some news headlines. And, we'll see what else is going on. Alex Hollings at the top of the hour. Merry Christmas to everybody. New Year's shortly behind that. But, if you're looking for somebody, an organization to donate money to, because you do that this time of year, Semper Fi Fund. Don't leave home without it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Colleen came out and watched tennis. Hit it around a little bit. She's not much of a tennis player. But she's a little bit of an athlete. If she worked at it, she'd be all right. Catherine, train wreck. Catherine shit-talked me. She said, I took lessons in North Dakota. I'll kick your ass. I said, what? All right. No drinking this early in the day.
Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square in the frosty air.
Here's an email for him. I will kiss Trump's ass on the steps of the Capitol. Any time of day or night he would care to do it. If Turkey and Russia don't kill thousands of people in Syria. I read that Associated Press story that you put in the link you posted on the website. And I was driving, and it occurred to me, to quote your guy, Nielsen, we have a real estate developer from Queens who's now off the sheet using his own judgment with foreign policy. Now, if that doesn't scare the shit out of you at face value, look at everything else the guy touches. It turns to shit. It's full of corrupt people with low moral standards. Remember that. If thousands of people don't die because of this in Syria, I will kiss his ass on the front steps of the Capitol. Yeah. Yeah. And you saw articles all over the weekend. So anyway, let me read you some news headlines. Trump fires Mattis early. Shanahan to take over on 1 January. Deputy Secretary Patrick Shanahan will take over on January 1. Next headline. Trump triggers another resignation after sudden Syria policy shift. We've already talked about that. Shanahan poised to rewire the Pentagon with Mattis out. should a new Secretary of Defense not be named and confirmed by the end of February, hardly a given based on the Trump administration history of getting nominees through the Senate, a little-known figure outside of national security and aviation circles could suddenly find himself elevated to head of the Department of Defense. Patrick Shanahan, a former Boeing executive who popped up as a surprise choice for Deputy Secretary of Defense in early 2017, has spent the last year focused on reforming the internal processes of the Pentagon. While flashier names will undoubtedly present themselves as options for the now vacant role, it is possible that Shanahan could be tapped by President Donald Trump for the full-time secretary job. Two sources with knowledge of the discussion said Shanahan's name will likely be on any list of contenders, but could not say how serious a candidate the deputy might be. A third source, and this one close to Shanahan, said the deputy has never aspired to the top job, but wouldn't rule out the option. He's not a policy or geopolitics guy. He's a business guy, the source said. But he spent the last year learning from the best, and Shanahan is known for having a good relationship with Trump and Vice President Mike Pence. Question is he a yes man? That's how you get hired in that administration now. I have some audio from Jack Keane that I want to play. So I like it when he's on Fox News. General type Jack Keane. Hold on a second. Here he is right now.
General Jack Keane. General, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you too, Anita.
So that was a supporter of the president's decision, but he certainly has a lot of critics out there. Let's hear from one of them right now. Senator Chris Coons has been very critical on this. Let's hear what he has to say.
I think by abruptly withdrawing from Syria, President Trump is handing a great big Christmas gift to Vladimir Putin of Russia and to the Ayatollah Khamenei of Iran. And it's a pretty clear guidepost for me when there is a foreign policy decision that's cheered by Vladimir Putin and Rand Paul. That's a pretty good sign. It's a terrible idea.
Wow, some tough words there from Senator Coons. And it seems like the president finds himself in a little bit of a strange position here, being criticized for possibly not being tough enough on ISIS now. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I've spoken publicly on this a number of times. I mean, I totally disagree with the decision, but I do think there's an opportunity because of new developments to possibly modify the decision. And that is that the Saudis are coming forward now with the full-throated money to do the reconstruction effort in northeastern Syria that we had promised the people as a result of the conflict to destroy ISIS in the vicinity of the town of Raqqa and the environment around it. Literally all the schools are destroyed, most of the infrastructure, there's no electricity, the water treatment plants aren't working. So we had a plan to rebuild that, and what the president, I think rightfully so, wanted somebody else to pay for it besides the United States. The Saudis are now wanting to do that in full, and I think given that reality, I think we should possibly modify the decision to pull over all our troops out in the near term and use this opportunity to help stabilize and secure that area so the reconstruction effort can go forward and be completed, and that ISIS does not interfere with it. ISIS clearly does not want the people in that area being indebted to Sunni Arabs or to the United States at all. And they've been telling us, I know this from the Institute of Study of War, has been reporting for weeks, that ISIS has been telling the people in the area, see, the United States told you they were going to take care of you, and they haven't done it. And you can imagine what they're saying now, being the fact we're going to be pulling out of this. So I do think there's a new opportunity here to get that effort done. After all, we did participate in that conflict, you know, for the better part of a year.
Right. And General Keane, do you think the president will listen to that advice, advice from you and from others to modify his plan and perhaps leave some troops there?
I don't know. I mean, the advice certainly is not going to come from me. It's going to come from his National Security Advisor, John Bolton, and Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. I think President Trump has always surrounded himself with a very good national security team, and he still has that, and I'm sure he'll find a very capable replacement for General Mattis. But yes, that'll come as a result of that advice. I do think one of the things that happened to the president here, and a little bit of an injustice to him, I call it a process foul, because we had a major decision here, but there was no meeting of the entire interagency to vet that decision. And what I mean by that is the National Security Council, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, the CIA Director, Secretary of Treasury, National Security Advisor, writ large, coming together, make a decision. Here's the risk associated with the decision. Here's the operational impact of the decision. Here's what it means to our allies. How are we going to inform them? And what's the political liability of the decision as well? And I think when you get all that information together, you're able to make maybe a better decision or measured decision, okay, or make sure the allies understand it before you actually drop the decision.
I'd love to hear more from you, but the computer's going to cut us off. Thank you so
much,
sir.
Yeah, I got it. I'm used to TV.
Okay. More in a moment.
I'm used to TV. The computer's going to cut us off. It's not a computer. There's somebody in the studio that's there with a switch. All right, let's see if Hollings is standing by. Alex Hollings. He is. How about that? The Skype music kills me.
What's going on, man?